Good morning or evening. Good to see everyone.
Yeah.
Question, does anyone here know any Christians of McCallahan in this area? I thought of you. You've been here in the area for a while?
Yeah, what was it?
McCallahan?
McCallahan.
Yeah, last name. Just wondered. A little small community I'm from in North Carolina, there's some folks that they told me just today, friends of mine on the phone, that they were from Oxford back in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
So he's a Bible teacher in our area. He doesn't fellowship in the assembly, but he's a nice brother. So anyway, thought I'd ask. Yeah. Okay, if we can, let's open once again to the book of Exodus, chapter 31 this time. We'll first, after reading in the New Testament, come back to Exodus 31. I'm going to read in 2 Corinthians 6 to begin with. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. As we were considering just a couple times on Sunday about the tabernacle, with the color chart that we had behind us, we were looking at the kind of an overview of the book of Exodus, the latter chapters, but in particular the tabernacle and the different articles of furniture. And as we were considering as they would enter in, and as we went from east to west all the way into the Holiest of Holies, the seven different articles of furniture, and how that in that study we see Christ in his gospel and in his church and in his person. We considered a few things along the way with that overview, looking at each of the articles of furniture. Then we moved the second meeting to looking at the garments of the high priest and some of the function of the high priest and the sons, the priests. What I'd like to do this evening is take quite a different turn, but yet definitely connected with the tabernacle. First, in reading 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. The book of 2 Corinthians has much to do with the term ministry, as we see different aspects of ministry. So we see the ministry of comfort, ministry of the new covenant, ministry of truth, ministry of reconciliation, along the way, and several others. We find in 6 and 1, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in a day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And as we think on these things, we are workers together there in verse 1. So we think of the ministry of the New Testament assembly and of the Church of God as a whole, the believers as a whole, is we are the body of Christ. The Lord Jesus is the one true head. We're to be workers together. Now, as we go back to the tabernacle study, in particular chapter 31 of Exodus, there's much emphasis when studying the tabernacle upon the high priest, the Levites, but in particular the high priest, as we looked at the last time. And as we see that emphasis, of course, is a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus as the great high priest. But, you know, when we get into the study of not only here in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, we want to be careful that we understand that it's not that there is just certain elite individuals that can serve God. It's not just a certain hierarchy that can serve God, but we are workers together. And when we look at the study of the tabernacle, it wasn't just the high priest that had function in connection with the tabernacle. We see, as we mentioned in the different articles of furniture, there were the staves and what have you, and as they were prepared when to move, they had to move the parts of the tabernacle and the furniture. There were certain individuals and certain tribes, as it were, certain families that had responsibilities to do different things, to be responsible for the coverings or in the transportation of the things of the tabernacle. And so when we think of this, again, the emphasis so often is on that one that reminds us of Christ, that great high priest. But it was the children of Israel as a whole that had function in one sense or another with the tabernacle. Let's consider in chapter 31, beginning there at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, and the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishmach, of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. We see the question, perhaps, who? Who is involved? We've already noted two individuals, not of the tribe of Levi, but we see this one, Bezalel of Judah, and Aholiab of Dan. So we find of different tribes. We see again the variety of those that were involved in the work of the tabernacle. Notice as well, as we read on, that it mentions and all that are wise hearted. You'll notice that as well as you continue reading this section and on over in chapter 35 and in 36. So it was a pretty broad instruction here of who had opportunity to be involved in the work. So with this who, we also notice a little bit of the how. Notice there in verse 3, as we see that Bezalel, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge in all manner of workmanship. We see here wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Threefold description here. Let's turn to the Proverbs, where we can see this trilogy again. Different times in Old and New Testament, we come across these three of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. In the book of Wisdom, Proverbs, we're in chapter 3. And let us read in verse 19 and 20. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. So here we find in context of creation, the Lord we see by wisdom, by understanding, and by his knowledge, as we see the Almighty Creator. Over to chapter 24 of Proverbs as well. 24. And we see there in verse 3. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled. So there, in a sense, we can see perhaps a progressive thought here, in the sense that wisdom, we see a house builded. We see salvation is in the New Testament. We might be reminded of how the wise man built his house upon the rock. We see in the sense of understanding, we see by understanding it is established. There we might think of further on in the things of the Lord. We see being grounded in the things of the Lord. And then thirdly, we see there, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled. And perhaps there we think of that closer relationship and that communion we have with the Lord. And so here we see wisdom and understanding and knowledge once again. Over the New Testament, we'll notice these three in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Context there, of course, the body of Christ, as we've been thinking about some already, with Colossians emphasizing as a twin epistle the head, the Lord Jesus. Here we find the body in Ephesians. And in the end of chapter 1, we find this attitude of prayer is by the Spirit of God. Paul is speaking to the Ephesians, and he's giving thanks for them, and he's mentioning them in prayer, as it were. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So we see pretty lofty words here, as Paul would pray these lofty prayers for the saints, as you look at the beginning of many of the Pauline epistles, and his desire for them that they might grow in wisdom and knowledge and understanding, that they might be enlightened and such in the things of God. You know, we need to pray for the everyday issues of life for one another. Very important, very important, as we are pilgrims and strangers here. But as well, we need to take example of Scripture and pray some of these high prayers, you might say, praying for the saints, for our spiritual understanding and our growth and our wisdom in the things of God. For if we grow in these areas, then the areas of the day-to-day life issues that we also need to pray for, perhaps the Lord would grant us grace and strength in dealing with those issues as we grow closer to Him in our wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the things of the Lord. So Paul would pray on both levels. Well, we go back for a moment to our text, Exodus 31. And we come down and notice in verse 6, Aholiab, as we see with him, this one from the tribe of Dan this time, his counterpart from Judah. And he goes on in the middle of verse 6, and in the hearts of all that are wise hearted, I have put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee. So here we see that term, in the hearts of all that are wise hearted. We see it broadened out a bit, putting wisdom, as it were. James 1 reminds us that if we lack wisdom, we can ask of God. And that if, as we have been reading in Ephesians already, we see then later on in Ephesians 5, it encourages us in the things of the Lord once again, that we should be not drunk with wine, we're in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so as we need to be led of the Spirit, that should be what controls us. Not these examples that are given, such as being drunk with wine, but it should be the Spirit of God that controls us. And so, again, we think of these back in the day of the tabernacle and how the Lord had given wisdom and understanding and knowledge, and not just to these two individuals, but in a broader sense, to those that were wise-hearted, those that were willing to be involved in the things of the Lord. As we stay in our text of Exodus 31, notice a little bit with the question of what. What were they to do? We've seen who and how a little bit. But what were they to do? This Bezalel, in verse 3 and verse 5, we see the phrase, in all manner of workmanship. I believe we can see this carries the meaning to occupy. We need to be occupied with the things of the Lord. That in all manner of workmanship, that we have a diligence, an understanding of the stewardship that the Lord's given us. That we would be occupied, that we should be in all manner of workmanship. We have the work of the ministry to perform, to work together as workers together. And so, verse 4, they were, it says, to devise cunning works. Here we perhaps get the sense of to plan, to be prepared. You know, the work of the Lord, we want to be led of the Spirit, but yet the Lord speaks much about His order, as we saw back in chapter 25, that build the tabernacle after this pattern. that yes, we need to be led of the Lord, yet there is a sense of pressing on in an orderly manner as well. You know, serving the Lord is not just sitting around on the top of a mountain and like, well, maybe the Lord will give me something to do today. We're to be diligent about the things of the Lord. And it says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. I mean, you know, the work of the Lord is not just sitting around and just looking around and waiting. There's a sense of this being willing to devise the cunning works, to plan, to be involved, and to be prepared to do what the Lord has us to do. They were to be involved with the gold and silver and brass. They were to cut and set stones, carve timber. You know, when we go into the New Testament, let's do that for a moment. We should think of the different portions. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. The different portions that speak of the spiritual gifts that are given to the body. We see in here in Corinthians 12, in Romans 12, in Ephesians 4, in 1 Peter 4. There's two chapter 4s, two chapter 12s is the primary text that speak of the spiritual gifts given to the body of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 12, notice there in verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And he goes on and mentions to speak of different aspects of spiritual gifts. And again, we parallel that, look at other portions, Romans and such. But we see here that there are the variety, the diversities, differences of administrations or ministries, as it were, or diversities of operations. You know, the Lord uses the various gifts in the body. Not everyone is a hand or a foot. Not everyone is a helper or a teacher or what have you, an exhorter. But each aspect is needed. And within that aspect, if you're involved as a helper or a teacher, what have you, it doesn't always come out in the exact type of operation. One teacher may have giftedness in a public sense. Some may be tremendously exercised and have the ability to sit down with a one-on-one and to really work with somebody and to disciple someone. It can come out in various ways and various operations. And so we see the value of holding to the New Testament pattern and appreciating what God has done in having given gifts unto men. And so with this, we go back and to our text again, Exodus 31. And as we see these two men specifically mentioned, verse 6 of our text mentions to make all. And down in verse 7 to 11, which we've not read as of yet, we see there the furniture and the cloth and the garments and the oil and such as this as we can compare in different portions in the latter part of Exodus. But we see there were things that needed to be made. If these things were not made, then there would not be the tabernacle, practically speaking, for the high priest to go into. There was the need for those to be active and wise-hearted and willing and able to do all manner of workmanship, to occupy with these things, to devise cunning works, to plan out, as it were, and be part of the work. In verse 7, the tabernacle of the congregation and the ark of the testimony and the mercy seat that is therein, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table of his furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture, and the laver and his foot, and the cloths of service, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil and the sweet incense for the holy place. According to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. So Aaron couldn't do this all by himself, could he? We see that there was a great need in the work of the tabernacle. And so when we think of the names of these two, Bezalel carries the meaning of in the shadow of God. Isn't that something? Here they were involved with such a detailed and such a precise and such an important work. But it's God's work. Here he was, as it were, in the shadow of God. Isn't that interesting that now we in the New Testament sense can look back and see that what pictures and shadows and types that that we find in the study of such a thing as the tabernacle. Here was this man in the shadow of God, was his name. In Aholiab, his name carries the meaning tent of my father. How appropriate that is. The task at hand was this tent, this tabernacle. And here he is, tent of my father. As we press on, we notice to chapter 35, please. Exodus 35. As we see a parallel passage, and of course when we study beginning in chapter 25, there is the instructions that was given, and we see it carried out at different times. The latter time when you see the details of the tabernacle, when it was actually being set up and what have you, back in the latter chapter 40 and such. So as you study through the various discussions of it, we pick up more information as we go along. And in chapter 35, we're going to look down at verse 30. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, in the cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab. And so we see this one of Judah, this one of Dan, that they would be taught, as it were, that they might be taught. You know, we need to be taught by the Word of God. It's one thing to be willing to serve God. It's one thing to say, well, we know God has given gifts to men, that the saints are equipped, as Ephesians 4 speaks of. But what are we to do? You know, there's one aspect to know what we're to do, and there's another aspect to know how to do it. I find this interesting. Beginning back in chapter 25, where we see the description of the tabernacle and the furniture and the priests and their garments and such, there's much detail about what they had to do. We have the Word of God. We have much in front of us that tells us what to do. For example, in the New Testament, the pattern of the New Testament assembly, there's much there that tells us what to do. But there's also the sense of how to do it. I'd suggest that this would come into play with what the Scripture tells us about the spiritual gifts. That there is instruction before us what needs to be done, but for us to carry that out, there's the need of the spiritual giftedness of the believers. Let's turn over there for a moment to Ephesians 4. It's not only what to do, but how do we do it? We have a brother in our assembly. I believe he's been here before when he was up with Keith before, Jeff Buckles. He's particularly exercised in the gospel. And it is encouraging. We're in a small assembly in our home assembly. It's a good benefit to have a brother that's particularly exercised in the gospel. We all need to do the work of an evangelist in that sense, being willing. But, you know, I've had some ask me before, he says, you know, how does Jeff exercise helping the assembly in this area of gift? And I'd point him to Ephesians 4, that when we read down in verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see, the various aspects of giftedness is not that, okay, let's just turn all the evangelism over to this evangelist. But instead, part of the role of his ministry would be to encourage and to prepare, and for the preparing, the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. Instead of, let's just turn this aspect over to this sister, this brother, what have you, and let them do all of this aspect, they should as well be encouraging and showing, and by example, of this is what we need to do. This is how we do this. And that's an encouraging thing, that the saints as a whole. Yeah, I think back to Timothy being told there, and as Paul wrote to him, it doesn't seem that he was gifted in the area of evangelism per se, but he was told, Timothy was, do the work of an evangelist. So that may not be your particular gifted area. It certainly isn't easy with me to go up to a stranger and start a conversation and in about 30 seconds get it around to talking about their need for Christ. I'm not very good. It takes me about 20 minutes if I can somehow try to get, you know, that's not as natural with me as someone that might be gifted in evangelism. But I try to witness to people. You know, I still try to get in that situation, and the Lord has to help me. But as we think on these things, it's good that the Lord works through the various gifts to help us as a body to function in certain areas and to be built up and edified. And so we think in our text, once again, back in Exodus 35, it goes on to chapter 36 and picking up in verse 1. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. So here we find the how. The Lord, by His Spirit, leads and guides His people. We have the Word of God, and we are, as New Testament believers, indwelt by the Spirit of God to understand how to do the work. We notice here in verse 3 to 7 as well, another important aspect, that they received of Moses all the offerings which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal, and they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came, every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment that they cause it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, that neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff that they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Here we see another aspect of how the people of the Lord could work together, workers together, offerings and being able to materially help provide for these things. And they come to the point of they had more than enough. Back in chapter 35, verses 5 to 9, deals with these things as well. We notice in verse 5, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and badger skins and shittim wood, and oil for the light, and spices for anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, and onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. So the next time you're going through and thinking on the tabernacle and studying the different parts of the tabernacle, the articles of furniture and the garments of the priest, think, there were the need of the people as a whole to contribute. And then certain ones were exhorted to actually make these articles and these materials. It wasn't that they were just, they're all out of nothing. The Lord could have said, like in creation, here it is. But no, He put ones, their hands to work. The wise-hearted, He speaks of. We could maybe go as well in chapter 35 to verse 20. And notice here, all the congregation. Verse 20, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone who his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering and such. All that were stirred, as it were. Further down in verse 25, we see specifically it mentions a role specific for the women. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. So how important this is, that this made it feasible that things would be able to be made in such a particular area. You know, we'd be reminded of other portions as we think of in Ezra and Nehemiah about is there was the rebuilding of the temple and then the rebuilding of the walls, of how it's repeated this one beside the other, and yet this one beside the other, and the next one beside the other, and how they were shoulder to shoulder as workers together rebuilding the walls, as it were, there in Nehemiah. Think of Ezra 2 compared to Nehemiah 3 and the rebuilding time, this time of restoration. Workers together. So we find the record of them actually making this tabernacle, chapter 36, 39 and such. And then we see it being set up, chapter 40. Workers together. If we were to go further into the study, you could go to the beginning of Numbers and look at some of the early chapters. And you see there the ministry of the Kohites and how they had ministry of coverings, as it were. And later on, it's interesting how ones would take it as a small thing, and they wanted more to do, as it were. They complained with Moses, and ones ended up being swallowed up in the pit. And we see there was Gershon and Merari, and these also, and these families, and how there were aspects of responsibility to carry things concerning the tabernacle. So with this, we could be encouraged to think about the various aspects of the work of the tabernacle. Not just the high priest had a job to do, but the saints, as we say in the New Testament realm, we all have opportunity and responsibility. And if we have the Spirit of God indwelling in us, if we are saved, and we do, then we have spiritual enablements, spiritual gifts, and we've been placed in the body to work together. It's encouraging is to come to a meeting here and see the a variety of men participating, such as the remembrance meeting vocally and in prayer tonight. And this is an example of what we should be encouraged with and to be exercised with, that there is the variety of use among the saints of God. Perhaps we could close in prayer, if one of the brothers may close us.
Church in such a way that to the principalities and powers in heavenly places has shown the wisdom of God. We thank you that you put us into that work, allow us to have a part in it, and that what we do for your Son, for your people here on this earth, has an eternal and wonderful spiritual effect. So we thank you for that. We thank you for what we've heard this evening. We pray that it would encourage us to find out how we ought to be serving and to strengthen our hands to the service and our hearts and our minds to love and serve each other and your Son more and more.
Yeah.
We pray in Christ's name.
Hey, bro, how you doing?
All right. I'm preaching through Numbers.
How far are you?
Well, I'm up to about 4 or 5.
Good.
We're going to be talking about the breaking things down and movement.
Oh, great.
And then I'm going to jump ahead to the silver trumpets and talk about that.
Yeah.
The Lord in the midst, and the Kohathites, and the Merarites, and the Gershonites.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, the layout there. It's super. Praise the Lord.
Well, it's interesting. You see the cohesiveness of the Spirit of God as far as, teaching on one thing and then you come along and you teach about something that's related to it.
Isn't that neat?
That is wonderful. So.
Praise the Lord.
So how have you been?
Well, pressing on yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm doing all right. We got a...
Hey, oh great. So, hey there.
Yeah.
In how soon?
June.
All right.
I guess we're about a month ahead of Keith and me.
Okay.
We got another couple here that is their due day before us. That's Rachel and George. Were they here?
The one with the big family?
Yeah, and then there's a married daughter and son.
Okay.
Okay.
So is the son-in-law, that family, the younger ones are expecting?
The son-in-law is the oldest daughter and her husband.
Right.
Are expecting due the day before us.
Yeah.
It's interesting. A lot of little kids all of a sudden.
Yeah. Reminds me of meeting back home. How it kind of back in the 90s it started, just a neat little cycle in the meeting. A few young couples came, started having children.
Yeah.
The Lord blessed in that sense.
Well, we've had this family come in. They weren't here last Sunday apparently, but according to what George said, they weren't here. But they came in from the community. They were looking for a church to study the Bible with. And, I don't know where they're at spiritually, but they're faithfully studying the Bible. The ladies are faithfully studying the Bible. So we're seeing people come in and they want to be in there and may not be saved. So that's kind of
exciting. Yeah, that's neat.
So you're staying with?
Over Keys. Yeah.
He was up at Gilbertsville on Sunday.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
It's kind of the employer. I've been going to Gilbert's. I've known Keith since I was 16, so I'm 40 now. So it's, I've been going.
Good. I want to see if I can talk with you.
I've been going there. What is it? 14 years. And
see
it dwindle away.
I've
been praying for a young couples, and then maybe some of the older folks that are also resistant to progress. Maybe move to a nursing home somewhere else or something. Yeah.
The Lord can do things in unique ways.
Yeah.
But
I'd really like to see. I went to a little assembly called the Marple Christian Assembly.
Kind of my heart left out to see if I could possibly get some young guys around just to like
11.
I thought about Bob Matthew too. They
have got to 11 of us. I went down to 9 of us. And then I went down to 5 of us. I was the only one in there. 8 or 9. We had to close them down. And I don't want to see that happen. In the last 6 years, there have been 4 assemblies closed down.
Wow.
17 greater throughout the area down to 13.
I mean, the most would be is once a week, but.
But then there is assemblies like this that are.
Mm-hmm. I just had to think about it, so I thought I'd run by
and
see what.
Moving forward, yeah. Sometimes there are cycles, but the dangerous thing is if the cycle gets down too low, they may close,
Yeah.
Right. So.
You don't really want.
Right. Yeah, that's what I figured.
I don't know. These guys are up at Gilbertsville. Some of them are in their 90s. Yeah. Like, we never did it that way. We were going. It was like, well, it's almost 100 years.
Yeah.
They didn't have cars when you were young. There's a lot of stuff since you were young, The world has really changed.
You say that and then look back and say, well, there's not a meeting here anymore.
But it's, there's some of the folks in the assembly.
You said it could be just one hand. You said that might use
some of the way the some of the promises of the assemblies is, you know, I'm really glad with the good news on the moon.
No, what you said
with doing
to get
creative and
just to get started rather than just start
gospel presentation.
Well, that might be good. So, yeah, so anyway, so
rather than using stuff that was really new and cutting edge in the age of Moody. The DVDs and the CDs and the little coins and interviewing with the cameras and things like that. It's really
yeah, when you get out into
12:10.
Open air, as you are, whatever, out in the among the world, you know, there's a flexibility with method, you know. It's not like you're changing the assembly. You're out there in the open air, so to speak, you know.
Well, gospel methods, yeah.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the way that the assembly. One of the things that you see is that one of the things that I see in the First Corinthians is that. There's no, it's never given like a quarter of service or anything like it is given like the Day of Atonement. Where the Lord says, first he says this, and then he says this. But they have this, we know that everyone's supposed to take part. All the men are supposed to take part. The women are. Heads are supposed to be uncovered, and they're supposed to come with psalm, hymn, a spiritual song. And how that, there's this flexibility.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. It fits every culture.
But
I don't know the folks of Gilbertsville as well as you. I first met them probably 4 or 5 years ago. I'm gonna go Thursday, but you know, I
like them.
I do. One thing is not having oversight, or that mindset of not having elders. To me, I've seen that in other meetings.
The grand exclusives.
Right.
It's a grand exclusive meeting. There's 4 or 5 around this area that kind of came out of the grand exclusives.
Yes.
Common sense
and became open brethren, but they held on to that.
That can be the death of me. There's one in our area that they decided, no, we're gonna move forward and not hold on to that any longer, because they're gonna die.
It says, know the elders that are among you and give them honor.
Why would there be so many things in the New Testament about it if it was only apostolic?
You know them if they're not supposed to.
The argument to say that was only for apostolic. It doesn't wash. Why would the Spirit of God give Paul all these instructions?
Well, why are there qualifications?
Yeah.
Well, nobody lives completely up to those qualifications. It's like, well, nobody lives completely up to the qualifications for marriage, but we keep on getting married. You know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't want to go. I'm not saying that the owner like I got an answer for things, but to me that looks like a really key issue, because a lot of times there's in meetings you're going to have a lot of disunity when there's not a pattern, a biblical pattern, you know? Yeah.
You're supposed to be shepherds, otherwise you get to sheep.
Yeah, and then some of them are not very spiritual. I'm saying in general, I don't know about there, you know.
In general, but the thing is, I know if we just all vote,
well, you get someone saved for a month, and then they can say vote on something. You know, that kind of thing happens in denominations, you know.
Studied the word, and you get people that are way off in the way that time. You know, you got Johnny One Minutes everywhere you go. Whether it's prophecy Calvinism, or it's free will.
And that's where they're going to bring that into every conversation.
And you know,
we're worried about logistics about it.
So you have your elders that have four families. Some understanding. You know, these are all elders here, at least two days.
Right. I think people that don't have any questions.
Right? Good.
That's good.
While they're here.
Like there's a wisdom in the multitude of counsel, you know?
Right.
And make sure everyone's in the room. And then sometimes they say, okay, this is what we're doing. Get in line. Let's go.
That's the key, isn't it? It really is.
Well, that's interesting with numbers. What I said in numbers is that
not expecting other people to come to the house. Whatever, I don't like.
but the people of God getting through the wilderness, and there are a lot of parallels like our situation, because this is a wilderness, and you see the trouble that they had, where people, where they,
and just make sure you make sure,
you know, there was trouble with wanting to not be accountable to the leadership. There were some, you know, some people who were in leadership that wanted to have more leadership.
You see that through numbers, that's for sure. Well, good. You'll be on that Sunday then, numbers?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
And,
that's what God willing. I talked about the three divisions of the Levites. My point has been that we're all priests.
Yeah.
So when we're seeing Leviticus and the work of the high priest, you know, there's also something there for the Christian as well.
I just assume that.
But also in Numbers, there's fighters, which were all in the war, and then also the service of the sanctuary, which is, like you said, it's all. And so the Levites are a picture of the Christians, just like the priests are a picture of the Christians, and the soldiers are a picture of the Christians.
Of course.
That's what you need, soldiers and servants to get through the desert.
I mean, you kept me quartered that day with multiple people.
But it's been a real blessing. I've been studying this for about 3 years.
Oh, yeah, good.
To where I could maybe kind of preach on it.
Good.
I'm not getting all this stuff.
All right.
So, how do you, when you do notes, when you're going through like something like that, how do you structure your notes? Because I have been having a terrible time. I write stuff down, and then I get up there, and I can't focus on it. And I don't know if it's a problem with my eyes or my nerves. Can I see your notes?
And I don't necessarily. It depends. Some things I'll have this. A lot of my notes I have it so that, like, if I speak on Ephesians now, and, I mean, I may go back to that series 5 years from now, and then I can just pull it up and kind of go back on it, and then study more. So a lot of my notes is just to maintain my studies.
So you do some sort of an outline of the passage.
Yeah, because I do mainly textual studies most of the time. This one's not so much a textual, but
it kind of is.
Yeah,
I mean,
kind of is.
You're pulling related text.
Yeah. So that's how I generally do it. I mean, this is maybe not a good example of how I normally do it, but. So I'll get some of the main thoughts, and then I might add to it. And like I say, there are times that I might not even hardly look at that when I'm doing the message. Mm-hmm. If it's something I'm fairly familiar with, it's more so that I have it when I need to go back to it in my studies.
Really convicted about sequential expository preaching.
Go through books and what have you.
Books, there's all kinds of different expository preaching, but you go through books, or you can go through, you know, the prayers of Paul, go through them, a line at a time, or, you know, like what I'm doing right now is I'm giving a broad overview of the numbers, pretty quickly through it.
Yeah.
No one here, I know, as far as I know, no one here has heard of it.
Oh, okay, wow.
You know, I haven't. I know I haven't. Okay. Except for Balaam.
Uh-huh.
And Balaam, Balak, and what's his name? The guys who got
Korah?
Korah. The son of
those that pertaineth to Korah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's it. That's all I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we've had some back our way, not in the last couple of years, but Larry Price did a series on it, and then Randy Amos may have done some, but
we don't have that emphasis here going through things. And I realize that it's going to get done.
Jump in, there you go.
And I find that as I get more
as I get going into a study and keep going with it, they're willing to give me more time.
Right. Well, that's good.
They give me two Sundays in a row.
Good. Yes.
I have to go four messages straight.
Right.
In a chart.
Super.
Having a wife that's good at computer graphics.
Oh.
So great.
There you go. Help me.
Like, this is what I want. She's like, is this what it should look like? I'm like, how'd you do that? She's like, I used Excel. I'm like, she made me a timeline of the Exodus. She's like, write down what you want it, and when it happens. And I did. And she,
super.
And then she found a way to blow it up one,
uh-huh.
You know, so that it printed out.
Yeah.
So that's a real
that's
gift.
Valuable.
That's a real gift.
Well, that's neat.
I wish I could have heard you on Sunday.
I was kind of felt like I was maybe not as coherent today. I felt more liberty on the Sunday, but that's okay. It's a good subject, but
I thought it was
But yeah, I was encouraged with we had a big wall chart up that kind of that way could visually walk through the thing with.
Did you get the opportunity to go over to the scale tabernacle?
I haven't. Yeah, we had.
You gonna be here for a little bit?
I've got meetings Wednesday night, Thursday night, and then two more on Sunday. So we'll be here.
But it's really not that far from Keith's.
Right.
It's $3 to get into.
Oh, I did. Oh, wow. Now, I have seen the large-scale one like that Randy Amos has that he
this
puts up.
This is a full-size, two-scale.
Isn't that something?
Now, the Mennonites theology, the ladies that go through it, is way off. You know, she was telling us that Miriam, Aaron, and Moses were in charge.
Oh, that
she
is.
She always put Miriam first.
Oh, like, okay.
Wow, we got a Mennonite feminist here. Yeah.
And so, what Randy has is close to full scale. We put it in the gym down at our assembly, but I mean, you have to take it apart type of thing, put it together. But yeah.
It gives you an idea of the work.
Oh, it's, yeah, it's good. Yeah. It took 2 or 3 hours to put the thing up when we were down there. We borrowed a gym near the chapel.
Yeah.
But I've heard a lot of people talk about Lancaster. It's like it's really great, you know.
Well, they have. It has changed 2 or 3 times since I went. I went to a Christian school, so I went to. In my elementary school, and then I went back in my senior high, and then I went back when the Good News on the Move was here, and then I took my parents, my in-laws back, and they keep tweaking it and changing it as they do more research.
Really?
And they have a really good, they sell models, you know, and they have like a little model that you can get of balsa wood so that your kids can put it together
really?
And paint all this stuff.
Good.
They all, you know, it clicks together. It's you know, for homeschoolers, if you want to teach your kids tabernacle, Sunday school class, the tabernacle, they can actually, you know, pretend they're Bezalel and Aholiab and paint the thing. And